It's time for the co-op show with your hosts, Petey and Jeremy. Game on, boys.
All right, we're back with episode 6 of the co-op show. Got to bring in my buddy, PK. Petey, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing fantastic, bud. Doing fantastic. Glad to be here.
Is it episode 6?
It is episode 6. Episode 7, if you want to count that episode 0. But yeah. Technically, episode 6.
Episode 6. Hope everyone's doing well since we last talked. Petey, what'd you have for dinner?
I almost said McDonald's. Walmart rotisserie chicken and some mac and cheese.
Now, wait a minute. Which rotisserie chicken? The regular or the lemon? Was it the lemon?
It's the lemon. It was lemon flavored. Yeah, lemon flavored.
People knock Walmart, but let me tell you something. Their deli and their chicken stuff, oh, phenomenal.
Their deli is pretty good. I'll give them that. Their deli is pretty good. I like those fucking, what is it? The chicken poppers. The chicken poppers are always good.
Oh, yeah, chicken poppers. I love getting their, they got boneless chicken wings, and they got them General Tso's or barbecue. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. So delicious.
Oh, the barbecue are good. Yeah, I've had those. The barbecue are,
oof. They are fire. I had two pieces of Jack's pizza that I cut into four to fool myself into thinking I was eating more pizza than I actually was.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So.
Your body knew.
My body knew. Yeah. Because I'm sitting here going, man, I'm still hungry.
It's like, hey, man, I don't know what kind of fool's game you're playing here, but we know.
I figured out the Dead Rising or Dead Island 2 DLC issue. Remember we talked about it a couple episodes ago?
Yep.
I didn't have to do a change of licensing. Mm-hmm. I had to make my Xbox Series X the home console. And as soon as I did that, everything popped over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess it's still considered that other profile on your old Xbox?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That makes... Okay, yeah.
And yes, we are a day late. We had some technical issues yesterday. We couldn't record. So we're recording now to get this out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we don't plan on this happening in the future, but it does happen because we're just human.
We're human. We're not perfect. And, stuff happens, unfortunately.
We also want to announce, and we mentioned it last week, that we were going to review the Fallout television show. And mm-hmm. we thought about doing it on the co-op show, but after I watched episode 1 of Fallout on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and oh my God, there's way too much to talk about in just one episode to do it on our show here. I mean, we come in, we're doing an hour and a half, sometimes close to 2 hours on our show now. To do Fallout on it,
that'd be half a day.
So what we're going to do is we're going to record a separate show reviewing Fallout. And that will come out not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, because we have yet to record it. We're going to record it this week.
Yep.
Then every week we'll have the co-op show, and then towards the end of the week we'll have
a little Fallout talk. I knew it was going to be long because the day you started watching it, you sent me that picture of your notes that you were taking. I was like, this poor soul is going to have so many fucking notes by the end of this thing.
I ended up about a page and a half, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I messaged you when I was 10 minutes in, and I had...
Yeah, you already had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, you were like, I'm 10 minutes in, and this is what I have so far. I was like, that's 10 minutes in. That's a long episode.
And I did a column of two, where I went down one side and then down the same side.
Mm-hmm.
So I did column, then flipped the paper over. So it's like, you know, I'm doing shorthand notes.
Yep.
Not writing everything out, but just doing shorthand notes to remind myself. So, one last thing before we move on to the news. Didn't mean for the awkward pause there, but breathing.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about The Gaming Historian. If you know The Gaming Historian on YouTube, then you'll know that this is a guy that does quality work for video games and the historical side. And it seems kind of, I don't know, ludicrous to think that, mm-hmm. you know, video game history and blah, blah, blah. But The problem with video games is that after a while they decay, and over time, less and less people have taken care of their games. So a lot of the older games are, you know, becoming harder to not only acquire, but acquire that work. And a lot of the history that went into those games is often gone and kind of lost to time. You know, we have video game museums. I think there's one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of shows on YouTube that preserve history and try to kind of pass it on. Like, I love Nintendo Works by the Retronaut guys. It's just phenomenal stuff that they do over there.
Yeah.
And Norman here, the gaming historian, who's been around since, I think, 09, 10, something like that. He's done a ton of just bringing history back and just kind of clueing, educating people, clueing them
in. Keeping those games alive, keeping that fire going.
Yeah, he's also a teacher. His real job is a teacher. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense that he would want to fucking teach people. So
is he a history teacher?
I think so.
I mean, I would hope so with, you know, the gaming historian. It would be weird if he called himself that, but as a teacher, he was like a gym coach or something. Like, that would be, I mean, kind of funny, but it'd be weird.
Yeah. What's really funny is that, like, I've been watching him since nearly the beginning. And, you know, I'm obviously about 10, 15 years older than he is. Mm-hmm. But to watch him start as a youngin' and see the production value being so, you know, shit. And make it to a point where he's got HD cameras, he's got voice actors, he's got scripts, he's got interviews. To watch it blow up the way it did was nice. And he announced last week on Twitter that he finished his documentary about the Oregon Trail, which is available on YouTube. Very good watch. And that he's going to step back. He's still going to make YouTube videos, but they're going to be few and far between. They're not going to be as, you know, I mean, and he already kind of doesn't make a whole lot of videos now. Like, they take a very long time. But he's going to move it on. Going to do other stuff like woodworking. So that's it's been around 16 years. So hopefully he still puts out a video or two in his spare time. Basically, I say just make smaller videos. You don't need to make, you know, big lavish videos, you know, just make a small.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like full on production videos. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because I'm almost positive that, you know, when he started, he was probably putting out a lot of videos, right? But then as he kind of
was pretty good back then. Yeah.
And then as he grew, you know, obviously he wanted to put more time in to his production value. So his, you know, obviously his videos probably started to slow down a little bit because he'd do a topic, he'd record it. And then after he'd record, you know, he'd probably take at least a week, maybe 2 weeks to put production value into that video.
Yeah. Editing and all that.
Yeah. And then he'd push it out, and then he'd probably take a break, and then, you know, rinse and repeat.
It's a slippery slope when that happens, where your production values go up and you want to do better. You want to make better stuff, but then it takes you so long to put something out that, you know, there's competition out there trying to get their piece of the pie. And you got to hope that you keep your faithful around, but you also want to attract new viewers.
Yeah.
Because obviously your faithful is not going to keep you afloat. You know, they're always going to be there for you, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you got to get new. You know,
it's nice to get those new fresh faces in.
And there's some.
I was just going to say, because they can also help, you know, spread the word.
Sure.
Like, hey, I've just checked out this new guy, you know, gaming historian. I don't know if you guys have heard him, you know, talking to their friends, and they're like, no, I'll go check him out. And then boom, you've got, you know, a new group that come in. But, you know, the old faithful, they're already talking amongst each other, like they already know. So, you know, you're not getting those fresh faces in there.
Yeah. And then ultimately you end up losing revenue, and it's like, well, you were doing it for a job, and
yeah,
you know, now it's like shit. But kudos to him for gaming historian, and hopefully he comes back at some point.
He's not entirely out of the game, but he's going into hiding for a little while, it seems.
He's taking a sabbatical.
Honestly, you said he was doing some, he was talking about doing woodworking or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Going into woodworking and all that stuff.
Yeah. I think that's probably what he's going to kind of focus on for video wise for a while. He's probably like, hey, I've done video games for a while. I want to see if I, you know, try my hand at woodworking and then, you know, record himself doing that and see.
I got these 8 2x4 planks and number 45 sandpaper over there. And I'm going to show you how to smooth all these down. Record time. Join us on the Wooding Historian.
Yeah, hey, that's right there. That's the title card for him right there. For the opening.
And the theme song is...
It's just him sawing on something.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into our news tonight. We got ex-Blizzard exec dragged for suggesting gamers start tipping. This is amazing right here. This is a perfect example of someone who doesn't know the value of money.
Yeah. Kind
of throwing around that you should just do whatever you should with money, you know, just not a clue.
Yeah. Dude, man, it's funny. Like, what's up with this whole tipping culture now? Like, it's wild.
I don't get it.
A few months ago, I went to it was a PX, and a PX is essentially like it's like a military shopping center. It's kind of like a small mall.
It's a department store, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a food court in it.
It's got everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we went there and I was hungry and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna grab something. And I've never had it before. I got it was Sbarro's pizza.
Ooh, oh, you never had Sbarro's
pizza? No, first time I ever had Sbarro's pizza.
With the giant fucking pieces?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a plate? Mm-hmm. Oh
yeah,
brother.
So I got up there and I ordered, and I get done ordering, and she makes the transaction, and it immediately pops up and is asking for a tip. Yeah. And I didn't say anything to her because it's like she doesn't do. She just after the transaction happens.
Yeah.
Before you pay, it pops up on the screen, you know, for a tip. And the first thing that, you know, popped in my head after I paid, I didn't tip, by the way, and I got my pizza. I said, thank you, have a nice day, and I left. And the only thing going in my head, I was like, why the fuck would I tip you? You're only getting a paid wage. I was like, you didn't do anything. You took the pizza and you put it in the oven, or the conveyor belt oven. You heated it up because the pizza had been sitting there for a while. I'm like, why? Why would I tip you? Whatever.
I went to Subway.
I'm like, I didn't sit down at a restaurant and I didn't have somebody wait on me. She didn't.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole.
She did not technically wait on me. So
yeah, that's the whole thing of tipping is that it's not like you're getting special treatment, so you tip because of that.
Yeah, you know, you come through and grab my cup and go fill it up because I can't. You know, I can't use your machine because, you know, obviously it's against, you know, regulation.
Take the plates away something, you know.
Yeah.
I went into Subway about a month or two ago, and I did the same thing as you. Got my sandwich, and as I was checking out, they didn't say anything, but on the little money thing, it goes tip, and I said out loud, I go, tip for what? I hit no tip. I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but I'm just
calling. Yeah, no. Yeah, I understand.
And I was like, I looked at my wife and I go, I used to work at Subway. There's no need to tip. They make at least minimum wage. Shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like
I feel bad at that. That's all they make, but.
Yeah. Shit. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what am I tipping for? And if somebody heard you and was like, oh, because they made your sandwich. It's like you don't tip the McDonald's worker or Burger King worker when they fry your burger and put it on the bun and then fold it up. No.
Where did we go the other day that wanted a tip? That's always weird. Where was I? I can't remember. Oh, Sonic. I went to Sonic.
Sonic is tip, man?
Well, I'm sitting at the... I went to one of the boxes instead of the drive-thru.
Okay.
And... it asked me if I wanted the tip, and I debated with myself for a second. I'm like, well, they do have to bring my food. She's got to cross the street. Mm-hmm. So, and it is, you know, it was like really windy, so it wasn't exactly pleasant weather.
Yeah.
And I hit the tip button, and then it gave me options, which mm-hmm. I guess is always a good thing that they give me options. But yeah. I found these options to be incredibly low. Like, it wanted me to tip her either like 50 cents or a dollar. And I'm like, in my brain, I had went to $2. That's where it, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, yeah. $2. And I was like, I had to hit other, and then I had to manually type in $2.
$2.
Which was way more than they wanted me to give. I'm
like, well, that's just because they based that tip off of a percentage of your actual total.
Yeah.
So that's why it seemed low, but it's like, why would I tip you 50 cents? Like, that's just, I might as well just slap you in the face when you roll on over here.
Yeah, no shit. And the only places I tip are restaurants that are sit down where they get me stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my hairstylist and my valet park, the right hand mm-hmm. valet park. And I was at the hospital a couple months ago. Actually, I think it was last year. And the hospital I went to had valet parking.
Yeah.
And when I pulled up, I was like, how much is it? And he goes, well, you got the handicap sticker, so yours is free. I'm like, oh, cool. And he takes the car. And later on, I come back out. He gets the car, brings it back. And I've never done this before. I put a $5 bill in my hand as a square. Mm-hmm. And when he got out, he handed me the keys. I shook his hand and slipped the five in his hand like a fucking in a movie.
Like a mob.
That's for you, brother. And he's like, he looks at it and he goes, oh. Like, he was shocked. I'm like, that's for you, brother. Like, he got it. He's like, oh, well, thanks. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. You got my car and you didn't wreck it. That's perfect.
As he's walking away, the only thing going in his mind is like, I hope he's not pissed that I did that burnout in his car.
I was doing neutral shots around the corner.
I just like, I don't know. Like, the whole tip culture is so weird now. Like, I think it's kind of happened last year.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, yeah, that's the pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. I will tip like DoorDash. The few times I've done it, I've tipped them.
Yeah.
But I think people got it confused where the people that should be getting tipped, like the people that shouldn't be getting tipped think they should be tipped. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, if you're not a waiter or waitress in a food place, then you don't get a tip, buddy. Mm-hmm. That's just it, you know?
Yeah, and like DoorDash and like Uber Eats, like that definitely makes sense because, you know, they technically are waiting on you because they are going and grabbing your food and they're bringing it to you.
Because your lazy punk ass won't get up and go, so you better tip. Good. I don't feel sorry. I don't feel sorry for any people that don't tip and then the driver don't deliver their shit or eats it right in front of them.
Yeah, or the bag's open.
Sorry for you, motherfucker. You were too lazy to get out and go get it. I saw this one video of this guy. In a snowstorm, order Domino's. This poor son of a bitch treks out in a downpour of snow.
Oh, yeah, I seen that video. The
dude only tips him like fucking $2.
Yeah, $2. He gives him $2, and he's like, thanks for the $2 tip, man. And I think the guy that ordered the pizza was like, said something along the lines of like, it's your job or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, it was wild.
You should be grateful to get $2 to drive in the snow. I would have grabbed a piece of fucking smash him on the ground if I were him. What's he going to do? You can't fire me from fucking Domino's. Fuck you.
Dude, it's crazy. It's like, cool, man. I risked not only my life, but, you know, my vehicle as well to bring you these pizzas for $2. Like, you know, granted, like, you know, he might have got, you know, he probably couldn't like, maybe $50 would have been wild, but, like, $2 is like, man, you might as well, like, slap him in the face and be like, these pizzas are cold, man. Take them back.
Depending, like, whether, like, in all honesty, if it's weather like that, I'm not ordering anything. I'm not going to put
something. No, I'm not ordering. No, I'm just, like, whatever I've got at the house. Yeah. Yeah, because my thing is I don't want to get out in it. Yeah, I'm not going to make somebody else get out and get it.
Shit. You didn't hear that, did you?
No.
I said, catch the cat. We'll cook that. We're out with this shit. Anyway, former Blizzard president Mike Ybarra made waves recently when he suggested that gamers might want to start tipping their favorite games extra.
What a crazy line.
Yeah. Quote, I've often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70. And they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second, his tweet read last week. Ibarra has seemingly had a lot of free time recently after suddenly, quote unquote, leaving Activision Blizzard amidst mass layoffs following its acquisition by Microsoft, where he also worked as a corporate VP for many years. Quote, games like HZD, GOW, RDR2, BG3, Elden Ring, etc., Ibarra wrote. I know $70 is already a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had at times. Some games are that special. Players immediately started roasting the former executive for what sounded to some like a request for a charity button for big game corporations. Some freaked out at the idea of being asked to spend even more money to play a game. Others balked at the idea of donating money that might never find its way in the pockets of the people who actually made the game. Despite only serving at the company for a few years, Ibarra reportedly held an especially demoralizing Q&A with staff in early 2023, in which he announced slashed bonuses and return to office requirements. Mm-hmm. That was before the big layoff.
So. Yeah.
So what do you think? Tipping at the end of old Red Dead 2, would you pony up an extra 20? I mean, you love that game.
Dude, absolutely not, man. Absolutely not. So two things here. Number one, of course, if you tip, this money is not going to anybody that it makes sense to go to. It's going straight to the corporation. The people that are already making buku money. Number two, there kind of technically already is a tipping button. It's called DLC.
Right. Microtransactions.
Microtransactions and DLCs. You already got a tipping button. But absolutely not. Like, I wouldn't, you know how mad I would be if you got to, for instance, RDR2. You get to the end of RDR2 and right as the, like, final cutscene plays and like Finn or the end rolls across the screen and a button pops up and was like 10%, 15% or 20%. And it's like, get out of here, man. It's like on the top of already paying $70, like, you know, why game would prices, I.
Like game prices are already lower now than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
And like, I don't get it, man. I don't get why. And it, you know what? It's not devs saying that. You know, it's the executive.
Cause yeah.
He knows it's going to come to him.
Oh, he's just trying to make more money. Absolutely. Because
even if devs see a penny of that, it's going to be that a penny. It's not going to be, I can't give them $100 and $100 goes right to the dev team. Yeah. Besides the fact that some of these devs have multiple, I mean, we're talking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people on a team.
Mm-hmm.
There's coders, there's music people, there's graphics, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on behind a video game. And like, there are games that are made by small groups of people. It can be done. But you're talking about a game like, you know, Elden Ring. That's not made by just a handful of people.
No, that's a team. That's a full-on team.
That's sometimes fucking two teams. I mean, there are games that have multiple development houses work on them. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the Call of Duty games. That's not one developer. That's a multiple.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Where's the tip go? Where's that $20 go? What the fuck?
I tell you, it gets burnt up, that 20 bucks.
Yeah, it goes to buy them a new yacht is what it does.
I just...
You know how you get... If you want to support the developers, the publishers, whatever... You're like, oh, this game is special. I really like that. How can I show my love for it? Buy the next fucking game. How that?
Yeah, that. I mean, you're already supporting them by buying the game. Yeah. And if there's, you know, like
don't buy used games. Buy them brand new. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, buy the DLC.
Exactly. The new DLC comes out. Buy that. If it's a microtransaction game, and you know there's a new skin that comes out, you know, buy the skin or something.
Spread the news to get your friends to buy a copy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Besides, you know, handing over another $20.
Word of mouth, man. Absolutely, that's probably the best tip that you can ever give them.
Yeah, word of mouth on the forums. You know, social networking. Start a podcast about the fucking thing.
Yeah. You know, you I was absolutely blown away by this game. I can't believe more people aren't playing it. But to come up with an idea, this man set. At his desk and was like, Man, you know what would be cool? I went to a restaurant the other night and I had to tip my waitress and I thought, how could I bring that to the video game world?
Is that just, I mean, you get nothing in return. Like
No.
you've already shelled the money out for what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense.
And you know, what's funny is I don't think any of the games on the list that he said, I don't think any of these games did this, but there's a lot of these games that they get released and they're not really finished. Or they're missing content and they, you know, have to push out updates and like you want me to tip for something that's not really quote unquote finished?
Well, see, now that raises another issue is that, and it's one that I've said, and I'm sure you'll remember me saying it when I say it again, but who determines when the game's finished? Because to me, it's developers. If they say it ends here, oh, we've got DLC that's built into the game that we can unlock when we're ready. It's like, but that's up to them to say when it's done. So if like, they come out and it's one of those that, oh yeah, it's in the game, but we just haven't unlocked it yet. Then you got people that are gonna cry foul and be like, why the fuck am I tipping you if I'm getting an incomplete game? But it's like, well, the developer said it was complete. It's not your choice, not your decision. It's theirs. But that brings up another thing. Because I can see a person going, well, I don't want to tip if there's on this DLC that I have to unlock. I gotta unlock the DLC by buying it, and then I gotta tip. Are you out of your mind? No.
And not to mention if it's like, you know, you tip on top of the fact that they're like, all right, boom, here's a paid DLC. So now you're tipping and buying a DLC. So now you're kind of double tipping.
Yeah. Yeah, they're double dipping right in your fucking wallet.
Absolutely. Then it's kind of like, you know, where does it stop? Like if this was something that more people, more executives were like, yeah, it's a good idea. We can get behind that. Like, then where does it stop? Because they can
Oh,
just.
we gotta tip the GameStop guy that sold it to us. We gotta tip the publisher who published the game, the developer who developed the game. We gotta tip Xbox for making the Xbox. That'll be the next thing. We
Would
gotta tip.
any of those? Xbox, Sony, Nintendo. Like, you got to
Here's
tip
your
them.
Game Pass subscription. Oh, by the way, you could tip, you know. Like, motherfucker.
Well, then you gotta tip the people that stock the shelves. You gotta tip the truck driver that, you know,
The
hauled the
cart
games.
pusher.
And if you ordered online, man, you'd have to tip your FedEx driver, UPS driver. It would never stop, man.
Your FedEx driver, you probably should tip just to make sure shit arrives on time and
It
safe.
still wouldn't. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if I hit that man with 100. He's still like, oh, you're waiting for something super important? Well, I'm gonna make sure you're my last stop of the night.
Videos where the delivery people just come up and fling the shit over the fence or fling it up on the porch and just walk off. Just don't care about their job. Just they're done, man.
They're done,
That's
yeah.
hilarious.
You know what happened there was they were one more person cutting them off away from just not even caring anymore. And it happened right when they got to their stop. Real quick, I seen one of those videos where I think it was FedEx, but the FedEx driver, like, he flung his door open and he grabbed this little package, and the guy was standing on the front porch, and dude, he just frisbee threw it up on the front porch of this dude, and like it hit and flipped and landed, and the guy, the homeowner, he went up and grabbed the package. Dude, he frisbee threw it right back to the FedEx driver, man. And the FedEx driver got back, picked up the package, and frisbee threw it back to him. I was like, man, what am I watching?
Grown adults acting like morons. Speaking of morons, GTA 6 publisher cancels 140 million in new projects and lays off hundreds of people. Publisher Take-Two Interactive announced massive cuts in an SCE filing last week. The company revealed that it will lay off 5% of its roughly 11,000 strong workforce and has canceled several in-development projects valued at 140 million in an effort to rationalizing its pipeline. Quote, the company estimates that it will incur approximately 160 million to 200 million in total charges in connection with the plan. Take-Two wrote in its filing, quote, the company expects 40 to 60 million in the total charges to result in future cash expenditures. The total charge consists of approximately $120 million to $140 million related to title cancellations, approximately $25 million to $35 million associated with employee severance and employee-related costs, and approximately $15 million to $25 million related to office space reductions. These surprise cuts comes less than a month after Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick, great name, told IGN the company had, quote, no current plans to lay off any more employees following a cost reduction program teased in a March investor call. The company is expecting a massive boost in sales when GTA 6 launches, you know, next year, 2025, hopefully. Take-Two recently announced a plan to acquire Gearbox Entertainment, maker of the loot shooter series Borderlands, which is published by the 2K label, for $460 million by the end of June. The deal would be financed by a sale of new Take-Two stock. In addition to GTA 6, Take-Two and its subsidiaries would also have new BioShock and Mafia games in development, while Ken Levine's Ghost Story Games works on Judas, which looks like a BioShock in space. Take-Two reported net bookings of $1.2 million last quarter, was 20% up from a year ago. Zelnick ranked in over $40 million in total compensation as head of the company last year, thanks in part to bonuses pegged to getting players to spend more money on microtransactions.
Good old microtransactions. Man, up 20% of last year, and they're...
$40 million in total is what that motherfucker's got.
Yeah.
Believe and that.
They're laying off and cutting projects.
Well, I thought it was funny. They cancel $140 million in projects. They lay off 11,000 people. Then they turn around and buy Gearbox Entertainment.
Yeah, I was going to say that. They want to acquire Gearbox, and then but they're laying off all these people.
That's
and
why stop they did the
projects. Exactly. They're like, hey, we can buy this, but we're going to have to cut jobs, and we're going to have to take about 140 projects we're currently working on, and we're going to have to nix them.
Isn't that insane that they'll cancel $140 million worth in cancellations? So they could have made $140,000 or $140 million.
Yeah.
And then they also have to spend up to $35 million in severance, like just to get Gearbox, which they're going to pay $460 million for by the end of June.
Yep.
Like, that's insane to me that you would have that much losses in gaming and people just get Gearbox. Like, that's, and Gearbox is fine. It's a good company. You know, hey, I love Borderlands. Awesome.
Yeah.
But is it worth that much? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're probably banking on the, what is it? The Borderlands movie. Just kind of like, just.
Which looks good.
Popping off. Yeah.
I think it looks good. I'm going to see it.
I'll probably end up watching it. I'll watch it. Yeah, I don't know why I said probably. I'll watch it. I'm going to watch it. But yeah, man, just for me, it's weird because so the 140 projects that they were currently working on.
140 million.
Yeah, they just.
Million, 140 million in projects. So it could have been five or six. We don't know how many.
But. Yeah. They made like, and they just cut them out, right? They just cut them out. That's still, it's lost money, man. For me personally, I would have just finished them because you could have still made money off of them.
Or at least sell them to other.
Exactly. Sell them to other people. Be like, hey, we've got this. You know, here's what we have so far. Do you want to buy it?
I'd like to know what the
projects. At least that way it just wasn't wasted. Like.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to know what the projects were.
Oh, yeah. I would love to know what they
were. I want to know if they were.
It was probably something cool
or something or something new, you know.
I'll let you know right now. I'm gonna let you know this right now. It was probably something really cool.
Let's see, is the GTA publisher? Yeah, there goes my Bully too.
Dude, I was about to say that. I was like, you know what was in that list? Bully 2.
Bully 2.
They're like, once we get the Gearbox acquisition and we get it rolling a little bit, maybe, just maybe, we'll start on a Bully 2.
Bully 2 and a Max Payne 4.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you'll get Half-Life 3 before any of those.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. That'll never happen. You know what would have probably saved this whole thing from happening?
A tip?
A tip. That would have done it. If they had been tipping, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, yeah, that's, man. Man, so you should get a hold of, you should get a hold of these guys and be like, hey, you need to start adding in tipping. That way you guys don't have to do this anymore. And give me my bully too.
I want my bully too.
So am I understanding this right? If Take-Two acquires Gearbox, are they going to be in charge of making BioShock and Mafia games as well?
I would imagine that would be the case. That would be, I mean, if they're buying Gearbox Entertainment. So what is that? That's Mafia, right?
Yeah.
BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands, obviously.
Yeah.
What else do they make? They get the 2K stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they got, what is that? That's NBA 2K.
Well, yeah, they'd have
WWE 2K.
WWE, yeah.
Is FIFA Madden or FIFA EA?
Yeah, FIFA's EA.
Okay, FIFA's EA.
Yeah, it's safe. FIFA's safe.
What driving games do they have? Not Need for Speed, because that's EA.
No, it's
I have to look it up.
I don't know if they have any driving games.
All right, we're gonna look it up. I thought they. Maybe Wipeout or something.
Ooh, you know what? They might have done Wipeout. Wipeout or Burnout?
Gearbox Software. Let's see. They got Half-Life, Brothers in Arms, Borderlands, Duke Nukem, Aliens, Battleborn, the Homeworld series. All right, yeah. Risk of Rain, Battleborn, Homeworld, yeah. Let's see. Godfall. I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, they got quite a few.
I was about to say, yeah, they'd be acquiring quite a bit. I mean, what would they do anything with any of those other titles? Probably not, because the three big ones would be Borderlands, BioShock, and Mafia.
Ooh, they also have Arc Games as a subsidiary of Gearbox, and they have the Jade Dynasty. And also, where's the other one? Torchlight series.
Ooh, yeah.
And Blacklight. Torchlight. I don't play a lot of those games, but Torchlight was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I played that a long time ago. So, yeah, I mean, they're getting their hands on some good
titles here. Yeah, some good stuff. But, again, man, like, are they going to do anything with them?
I would hope that. I mean, obviously, you want to see new games with them and stuff, but.
Yeah.
I would hope that they would, like, I would like to see, like say Grand Theft Auto 6 have, like a Borderlands skin or something. You could gear or weapons.
Crossover, you know, events would be pretty, yeah, like crossover, would be, yeah, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do a, because obviously, you know, GTA 6 online is going to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
They could do a retexturing where it kind of looks like Borderlands.
Yeah, something. I mean, you know, just because they did that with what was it, Red Dead 2? They had the gun that in Grand Theft Auto 5. You know, if you did the thing in Grand Theft Auto 5, you got the gun in Red Dead 2 or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a revolver.
Yeah.
I think it was a revolver that you could go find. I think all you had to do was have a save file of Red Dead, and then, like,
it was the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, so they actually had what was it, when you create your character in 5, they had the like John Marston could be one of your,
yeah,
could be your ancestor.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So, like, they could do stuff like that for, like, character creation. You know, one of your ancestors for Grand Theft Auto 6 online could be like Handsome Jack or something. Which would be crazy.
Handsome Jack. All right. Speaking of adding stuff on, Stardew Valley's got a new patch with a bunch of new stuff added to it.
Ooh, and Stardew Valley, man.
I know what you're thinking. It's only a couple episodes ago. We talked about the patch they had then. But obviously there's a new patch now, and I thought about not covering it, but they added some stuff in here, so it's like, I feel like if we didn't cover it, people will be like, they'll listen to the initial episode about it and go, oh, well, what about the other update? These guys are idiots. So
yeah, right. It's nice to have a continuation of it. Yeah. Like, hey, you know.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More so stuff to Stardew.
Stardew Valley's 1.6.4 update is now live on PC. No word on when it's coming to consoles. Brings an impressively long list of bug fixes, quality life improvements, and fresh content. I'm not going to list everything, obviously, like last time, but I will list the additions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Among the new additions are over 20 never-before-seen alternate mine layouts, which start to appear once players have reached the bottom of the mines for the first time, and a brand new cutscene that triggers upon helping to grow a neighbor's family to its maximum size.
Mm-hmm.
Players are also thrilled with some adjustments made to existing items, including one newly implemented balance change that allows golden mystery boxes to yield an auto petter, which, as the name suggests, pets barnyard animals to improve friendship levels. That's all the pets my animals get, is I got an auto petter in there. That's it. I let them out. Yeah.
You're like, I don't have time to go time. And pet each one of you manually. Thing's going to do it for me. I'm a busy man. I got a lot of stuff going on.
The update also brought a massive fixes to the game, including one that addressed a bug that was causing some farmyard pets to disappear. Another gameplay fix took aim at numerous crashes and or bugs that would arise while building a cabin, and another removed an issue which saw the player collide with objects during a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced a cutscene that I don't know was put in the last update or not, but I went down into the sewer to see what that guy had for sale, as yeah. I normally check him every few days. And when I got down there, he's arguing with a goblin, and they're like start hitting each other.
Huh.
And I got to break it up. And all of a sudden, that mysterious Q guy comes in, the witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he makes them see that they don't need to be fighting anymore, and they need to get along, uh-huh. and just makes them cast a spell of friendship or something like that.
Yeah,
it didn't change anything, but it was just like neat to see. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was weird.
You're just like, what did I walk into here?
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But here are the new additions to the game: 20 new alternate mine layouts. We talked about that. 20 mm-hmm. new volcano mine layouts, which is on the island.
Uh-huh.
They added fish frenzies. Added a special cutscene after you help your neighbors. Talked about that. Added 4 new fairy styles. You can now place 8 additional non-fish items into fish tanks.
Okay.
The raccoon shop now includes a trade for mystery boxes and golden mystery boxes. The raccoon shop, if you go south of your farm,
uh-huh.
as soon as you come out and you go immediately to your left, there's a giant tree that if you repair it with, I think it's 100 hardwood,
uh-huh.
a raccoon shows up and you've got to feed him smoked flounder and seashells.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get a fish smoker now, which is not mm-hmm. easy to do. And then he opens. Once you do that, he opens up. The fish smoker, you got to have lake jelly, river jelly, and sea jelly,
oh,
which
Jesus.
Is all stuff you catch fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like every time you go out there, you're either catching junk, jelly, or a fish, and that jelly doesn't come along too often.
No, I was about to say, yeah. I mean, you can't determine what you're going to catch yeah. when you cast your line. So what about I almost said hatcheries, not hatcheries, but like the fishing traps. Like, can you catch jelly in the traps?
Ooh, I don't know. And I've got a ton of traps set up too.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never really had a whole lot of luck with the traps anyway. I normally just like get junk out of the traps. So,
or you putting bait in them?
Yeah.
Huh. I've got about 20 or 30 set up at the beach, and I don't do it anymore because just there's not really enough money. But
yeah.
It was fun for a minute.
And it takes a while because you got to run down there. And you fill up all the fill up all the traps. And it's like, all right, cool. Well, there's about half the day gone. Let me go back and pet my animals while I'm at it.
Auto petter will get them. vinegar can now be poured onto trees to stop them from growing moss, which moss is a new thing. I don't know if you've seen that, Petey.
Uh-huh.
And shaving and Shaving enchantment now causes tree specific drops. Fern goes to fiddlehead fern, mushroom to red mushroom, and mahogany to hardwood. Those are the majority of the changes or the additions added this time around. I'm still impressed that they keep coming up with ways to expand Stardew Valley to make it more interesting and to keep people coming back, because at the end of the day, it's a very simplistic game, you know. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the same game we've been playing since what? 2016?
Yeah, 15, 16, somewhere around. Yeah.
And they've added a little small stuff, but no DLC. You never have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic, man.
See, it's nice too, because, you know, could have easily all this stuff be like, hey, you know, 10, 15, 20, whatever dollars for expansions. But he's like, nope, it's free. It's just going to come out as a patch.
And I think that, like, Minecraft kind of went down the same route for a long time where they would release a lot of stuff for free. But now they've got it to where they do release some stuff for free.
Yeah.
But you got to buy the coins now, you know. So it's like, eh. But at least there's still so much there. I mean, it's Minecraft, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's really, I mean, goddamn, it's up to your imagination.
Honestly, the guys behind No Man's Sky, they're kind of doing the same thing. Like, every huge expansion that they've ever done that's been for free, they just update the game and add the expansion in.
Now, are they getting any tips for that?
I mean, I think they do. I think they do have, I think there's microtransactions in the game now. So, I mean, yeah, technically, I guess they, in a way, are getting tips. But, you know, you can't convince me, like, Stardew Valley just might be that game that just never dies.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be around for quite some, I don't think we're going to see a sequel either.
No.
I think this is kind of it.
I think, obviously, the sequel will be, I think he's working on another game
as it's well. I can't remember what the name of it is now, but you are, it's confectionaries. It's like a chocolatier kind of thing.
Yeah.
Essentially Willy Wonka is what it is. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah. He's got that. I thought he was working on a wizard game in the aspect of Stardew Valley. Witchbrook or something like that.
Could be.
Pretty sure that was him. But it's funny that as simple as Stardew Valley seems, there's so much hidden in it.
Yeah, Haunted Chocolatier, that's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing anything else. At least on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's called
Stardew Valley Cookbook.
I'm surprised you haven't bought that yet. Yeah, it's called Witchbrook, because it's developed by Chucklefish.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still a game that's it's just coming soon.
Because he's with because Chucklefish makes the or is the producer of it, isn't they?
Yes.
They help port it over. So Chucklefish is, as far as I know, is different from him.
The actual guy that makes Stardew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chucklefish handled the ports, porting them all over. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah,
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There's Chucklefish. Oh, yeah, because they've got Risk of Rain, Stardew Valley, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Concerned Ape is the guy behind Stardew. Yeah. Yeah.
Pathway, Inmost, Starmancer, Eastward. Starmancer looks cool.
Funny enough, man, on Steam, Stardew Valley still got that overwhelmingly positive review, so.
Hell yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to go away anytime soon.
Petey, let me ask you a question.
Fire away, bud.
We're about to talk about Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yes, sir.
and I sent you the script.
Uh-huh.
So you got the notes, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about reading that part of this that news bit?
Oh, you want me to read the Dragon's Dogma 2 news
bit? Well, it's your game. I feel like, and I when I was taking it down, I was like, he's going to know more about this than I am, and I don't want to fuck this up. So what do you think about doing that one?
Yeah, I'll
never cover the news. You're like my Johnny Carson. You're my Ed McMahon to Johnny Carson. Oh.
All right. Dragon's Dogma 2 patch nerfs Dragon's Plague. It makes pawns speak less. No mention on a performance mode. I don't think that performance mode's going to happen anytime soon, though. I'll tell you that. Capcom's been very vocal about how the game is set is how the game's been set. So Capcom has detailed an upcoming patch for Dragon's Dogma 2 that makes a number of changes and fixes, but there's no mention of the performance mode so many players are waiting for.
Now, what is performance mode?
Performance mode would just increase the frame rate. It bump it up to 60.
Oh, like an enhancement kind of a
thing. Yeah, okay, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and they, like I said, they've been very vocal about, 30 FPS is it. So I don't really see
really? Performance That's it? Mode.
Mm-hmm. Game still runs fine. Like it runs, it runs great. But some people have that specific trained eye for FPS and they're like, oh man, it's stuttering. It's stuttering. Capcom has announced an upcoming Dragon's Dogma 2 patch due out later in April and confirmed what it sets out to do. But players cannot expect a performance mode. What it is included is a nerf to the pesky Dragon's Plague illness, which turns pawns murderous, but only exhibits a few subtle symptoms. Up to that point, modders have already made things really obvious for PC players by sticking a big number on the follower's forehead. That's smart. So really the only way you can tell if your pawn is plagued in the console version is their eyes are red. Huh. They're bright red, and I think they flash.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody that made your pawn with red eyes, probably not a good idea. But like I said, they flicker, like the eyes will flicker. So that's how you can tell. But that's it. That's the only way. And I've seen some articles where people say that they your pawn kind of starts to talk aggressively. Yeah. Like they'll talk aggressively and they'll stop listening to your commands. Not really that you can give them commands, but if you turn your lantern on, they will turn their lantern on. Or if you tell them to go to a location or wait or follow you, they'll probably be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Elsewhere, there are adjustments to pawns' behavior and dialogue, including a tweak to make it less likely for pawns to fall off cliffs. There's a note about reducing the frequency of some pawn dialogue, which should make them a little less annoying to be around. I'll tell you right now, that falling off cliff shit, it needs to happen because I'm tired of always having to go back to the Riftstone because either my pawn or the pawns that I summon, like they go run over to me and they just fall off the cliff. Like it is crazy because I've slipped off cliffs too because sometimes when I'm running, like I run along the cliffs and the game's set to where if you're running, sometimes your character will like lose balance on the cliff. You just fall off.
I couldn't find any announcement of like when this was coming out. So I don't know if it's coming out, the patch is coming out soon or what. I just could find that they announced it.
Yeah. I know they just had a pretty sizable update, I believe, at the beginning of April. But none of this was in there.
When did this one come out? It was March, wasn't it?
Yes, this came out in
February.
March. Dragon's Dogma?
Yeah.
It came out March 23rd, I believe.
Okay. So they're not, I don't think they're doing too bad if this is only the second update or patch they're sending out. It seems like everything's going pretty good. I've not read anything about it being bad.
No, dude, it's such a good game. You're constantly going to hear about the performance mode because everybody wants, so many people want that performance mode. But like I said, man, Capcom's been like, yeah, no, we're not, that's not what we're were focused on.
I don't blame them because they, I mean, it's Capcom, you know, they know what they're doing. And I can understand not wanting to push it any further because the more you push it, the more shit can break. And if you've spent all this time crafting this game and this world and all this shit.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, oh, we want to make it faster. Like that could, so much can go wrong.
And it's a, yeah, it's a sizable game too, man. So I just, it would take a pretty long time to get a performance mode up and going and not break the game.
I wonder how much that would take. Like, let's say they did it. I wonder how much of a, like a, of a download it would be to, you know, would it be a sizable thing?
Oh, dude, it would have to be. I think it'd be at least, I don't know, man, I'd say probably about 30 gigs.
You know, if they could just get a tip or two, they would probably.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking that if people want a performance mode, they might have to pay for a performance mode.
If you pay
that for might it. Be the first. That Capcom might be like, hey, we'll get it to you, but you're going to pay for the performance mode. Like, we're not just going to give it to you for free.
We can't just give it to you for free. There's. Let me ask you another question, Petey.
Fire away, bud.
Are you in the market for, I don't know, some new Nerf blasters, maybe a new Stormtrooper helmet?
Man, I've been needing a new Stormtrooper helmet, man.
They go out so quickly that you got to replace them.
They do. They really do.
If you're looking for a new Stormtrooper helmet or some Nerf guns, some Batman shirts, well, Entertainment Earth is the place to be for all things nerdy, geeky pop culture. They've got everything. They've got t-shirts. They got figures. They've got video games. They've got statues. They've got fanny packs. They've got hats. They've got Nerf guns, cups, everything you could want with all your favorite brands, Funko, Nintendo, Batman, Star Wars, obviously, DC and Marvel. Mm-hmm. Everything over there is yours for the taking. And if you use the code COOPSHOW, you will get 10% off qualifying items. Does not include clearance items, unfortunately. And Dang. They've got new stuff coming in every single month. You can see what's coming in new and pre-order to make sure you get your hands on it. And you can also see what's on back order and keep an eye on it. So if it becomes available, you can grab it. Head on over to entertainmentearth.com. The link is on the front site of the show. And remember to make sure you use the co-op show as your code to take 10% off. All that cool stuff you want. So get on over there and spend some cash and buy some new stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And save some money with the discount code.
That's right. Now, I couldn't find weekly game releases. There's really nothing popping this week.
Yeah.
So instead, what I wanted to do, and I don't know if I sent this to you or not, is I wanted to talk about what's leaving Game Pass and PlayStation Plus at the end of the month. Okay. Which I think is a unique idea. We don't have to do it every week, obviously. Mm-hmm. But as we edge closer to the end of the month, this is something that I think we can do.
It's nice to update people on what's leaving because, honestly, a lot of people don't. Like, there's been a lot of times where I go on Game Pass and I'm like, I know this game's on here. Where is it? And, like, I'll have to look it up. And it said, oh, this game left Game Pass, you know, the last iteration. Is like, well, shit, I didn't know that left Game Pass.
So if you're an Xbox gamer on Game Pass, here's what's leaving on April 30th. 7 Days to Die, which to me is nuts because that's a big game.
Yeah.
Besiege, EA Sports NHL 22, Loot River, and I hope I'm saying this right, Pikunaka? Is that it?
I think so.
And then Ravenlock. So all those are leaving on the 30th. On PlayStation Plus, if you got it, you've only got a few days left to play Soul Calibur 6.
Damn.
Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, which is a great game. Bassmaster Fishing 2022. Good for them. Necromunda Under Hive Wars. Chicken Police, painted red. Mm-hmm. That's okay. R-Type Final 2, good game. Gunful Chronicles, Luminous Avenger 9. Eh. And Fighting EX Slayer. So get over there and play those. You've got about a week to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
couple fighting games in there for old PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. What are you playing right now?
I am currently playing Man, I fell down the rabbit hole again because of the show, but Fallout 76, man, got me wanting to play it.
I might have to put my disc to that somewhere around here.
Yeah, man, I mean, if you do, I wouldn't be opposed to buying buying that Fallout first.
Oh, the what is that, the server thing or whatever?
Yeah, the subscription based thing.
Maybe. Have to look into it. What else are you playing? Is that all you're playing right now? You've had a busy week.
Yeah, that's all I've had time to really play.
I got my Dead Island 2 fixed, so I'm finished the first DLC, and I finished it right as this new one came out, so I got a new piece to play. RoboCop Rogue City, finished the first level, which was a sizable level. I didn't realize it was going to be that long. It's everything I could hope for. Like, you do have energy that when you get shot, it goes down, but it's great. You scan stuff, you pick stuff up, shoot people in the dick. It's all good. It's and they have that music playing the whole time, the RoboCop music.
Oh, does it really? Oh, man, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, and then, you know, he looks like the RoboCop from part one, and Murphy looks like Murphy from part one, you know. it's phenomenal. I just got to they give you the tutorial mission. But now I'm at the police station. I can walk around and do stuff. So I'm like, okay. And then I also picked up Mario and Donkey Kong on the Switch because I love the old Mario versus Donkey Kong games.
So
I had to pick that one up. And that's fun. If you got a Switch, I highly, highly recommend that game. So
you got a few things you're playing here.
I'm developing a backlog because I still have other games that I'm not playing but are in my perif, like the Operation Wolf games sitting there waiting, you know. It's like, son of a bee. So
you might have a backlog, but you're ticking away at it slowly. I'm chipping away at it.
What's your retro game of the week? What do you got?
So my retro game of the week is a little game called Lord of the Rings: War in the North that came out on the Xbox 360 and PS3. Man, let me tell you something. That is such a fun game. Me and a buddy of mine, Brennan, we put a lot of hours into that game, and I wish they would remaster that game.
Now, obviously, it's an RPG.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, what kind of RPG is it? Is it a top-down? Is it an isometric? Third person?
It's action RPG, third person.
Oh, okay. You are around to hacking and slashing?
Butcher Pete?
I was gonna see if you finish it or not.
I was like, I'm pretty sure he's hit me with some Butcher Pete, but
yeah, that's what I was doing.
Chopping at meat.
Yep. I'm my retro game of the week is Super Mario Sunshine.
What a great game. Awesome game.
Just a great game.
What a great game, man.
I love it. It's my favorite Mario game. It really is. It's so different and so unique, but it feels so good to play. I was playing it last week off and on, and I'm like, yeah, I just sit down. Sometimes I'll sit down and with my Switch, and I just want to play just a few minutes of something, and I'll pick a random Nintendo game or whatever, you know, and played that for a few minutes. Like, man, I need to play through this again.
Did you ever think that would become your favorite Mario game?
For a long time the first one was. I feel very strongly for Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Because it's the first game I can recall ever playing.
Mm-hmm.
It got me into gaming, and I'm very good at it, you know. So it's like I think it's important to me, but my favorite is Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it was just so different. You know, the water pack, the setting was different. It's like you're doing the same thing of collecting shines to save the princess, but it's like, it's still the aesthetics.
The way they go about it is so good. Like, it's just
changes it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
the music is so good.
I compare, like, okay, so you look at Ocarina of Time, mm-hmm. and then you look at Majora's Mask. Majora's Mask is so different. And it was it operated in a very similar way to Majora's Mask or to Ocarina, but it was just different enough. And that's how I see Sunshine to 64, because it's like, it's just different enough, you know, to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't get that nowadays. Although Super Mario Wonder Super Mario Wonder was really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
I heard Odyssey good things about right. it. I didn't play Odyssey. Just when I seen Odyssey, I was like, man, this game just, for some reason, just didn't look fun to me. It just...
It's okay. I mean, it's not... It's... What I mean is that it's not broken. It mm-hmm. looks good. It controls great. Everything's fine with it, but it's just like, you've done it before. Now you just gotta have to throw at shit. You know?
I was about to say their spin on it was the fact that you could throw Mario's hat, Cappy, and you could either take over like specific enemies or you know you could use it to traverse the map as well. But like that was pretty much it.
Super Mario Wonders was really really good. I love that. It was really nice. But
because I remember Galaxy's little shtick was the fact that like.
You're in space.
You're in space. You jump to planets, and like it's like all 3D.
Which I didn't mind that. I thought they did it really well, but it's just for longevity, I didn't. I didn't find myself going back to play it again and again. You know.
The thing for me with that game was just the fact that you know it controlled on the nunchucks, and the nunchucks were just.
It was hard to get down.
Yeah, it was just.
It's really hard to get down.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get down. But yeah, play Super Mario Sunshine if you haven't. It's a fantastic game.
It's a good game. Good game.
Petey, you want to hit the plug, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Once again, ladies and gentlemen,
did you say yeah, sure, or yes, sir?
I said yeah, sure, but what I meant to say was yes, sir.
Yeah, sure, yeah, right. Okay.
Littering hand.
Are you boys at Mexico or Canada? Almost made it.
Pull over, sir. He can't pull over anymore. All right. I watched it the other night. All right. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for stopping by and giving us a listen wherever you are in the world. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can reach out to us at our socials, which are followed. Jeremy's socials are Facebook, Jeremy Nichols. There's a space between Jeremy Nichols. His Twitter or X is _JeremyNichols. That's all together. And his Instagram, which is JeremyNicholsV1. All of that's lowercase, no spaces. And his TikTok that may or may not be around much longer due to the foreseen events of some political stuff. And that is also JeremyNicholsV1. All of that's lowercase.
It's a shame after I put all that work into my TikTok.
All of that's lowercase, no spaces. Then you have my socials. My Facebook is PD Koenig, space in between PD and Koenig. My X, which is Koenig PD, no spaces. The K and the P are capitalized. And my Instagram, which is PD Koenig, all lowercase, no spaces. All right, everybody, the show is up for ad campaigns for those that are interested in advertising with us. If you're looking for an affordable advertising solution for your product, think about advertising with The Co-op Show. Our audience is a wide variety of ages and cultures, so whether it's shaving products, cell phone services, or mattresses, we can advertise for you. Yeah, man, mattresses, man. We got it all. The warehouse is clearing out, bud. For campaign packages, you can reach out to Jeremy and myself at any of the socials listed. So, guys, I want to take a moment and talk about our Patreon. Yep, that's right. You heard it. The Patreon. So, if that's your thing, you can show some love and support to the show. We currently have 5 tiers available with varying prices for each tier. Sorry about that stroke I just had. I apologize. You can be a director, vice president, all the way up to CEO, each tier coming with its own benefits, such as access to blog posts not found anywhere else, suggesting game topics to be featured on the show, name in the credits, all the way up to being a guest. So if you ever thought about being a guest on the show, that could be your ticket right there. Any and all donations will go directly into the show, and our show will always be free to you guys. So you don't ever have to worry about, oh, man, I got to sign up for this. No, you don't have to worry about it. The show is always going to be free, and it's always going to be available to you guys. So please consider joining the OCP team. The link is on our Patreon page.
Awesome. Another great Sterling job, my friend.
Yes, sir. Not done yet, because we are now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Podchaser, the Podbean app, iHeartRadio, Player FM, the Samsung podcasting app, and Boomplay. So if any of those are your ticket that you listen to your podcast, we are available on those now.
We're just earworming our way into everybody.
We are. We'll
get to you.
We're spreading out there, man. We're going to Dragon's Plague you.
Yeah. So tip us. No, don't tip us.
Should have threw that out of the Patreon right there.
Yeah, we're going to throw our Patreon to tip. Yeah, that's our tipping. Tonight we talked to ex-Blizzard exec Drag for suggesting gamers start tipping, you idiot. The GTA publisher canceling a ton of projects. We talked Stardew Valley's newest patch and Dragon Dogma 2's newest patch. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode tonight. So
I know I did.
That's all I've got. You got anything else there, Mr. Koenig?
No, sir, man. I got nothing else. I think that's it.
Well, Petey, take us home.
Cha-ca-ca.